relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream today. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
I make a list of things to discuss, and given the way things are in the world today, that plan lasts for as long as it takes to make contact with the enemy. You got to stay flexible, but today's list is one of the longest I've ever made, my friends. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. We have unbelievable news from Minneapolis on how you could be a better victim of crime. The latest crime statistics for Chicago that will shock you. The president's impending decision with regards to the Chinese social media platform TikTok. We have the good news of the landing, the splashdown of the astronauts who have returned safely after 45 years, the first successful return of astronauts in a splashdown to the United States. Who is Karen Bass? Do you know who Karen Bass is? She thinks she should be the next vice president under sleepy, creepy Joe Biden. We'll get to that as well. The New York Times has done a massive hit piece against our friends at The Federalist. Congratulations, Ben Domenech, Sean Davis, and the whole Federalist team. You are under their skin, and that is quite an achievement. And then, very, very disturbing news with regards to some people and a Planned Parenthood offices here in the United States. And then lastly, sometime in the next 3 hours, I must discuss, because this one is personal for me, the decision by a U.S. federal court to overturn the death sentence of one individual called Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, the surviving brother of the Boston bombers. I served as an expert for the Department of Justice on the side of the prosecution during the Boston bombing trial, and this new decision is a travesty. We have reached out and we will be talking to one of the survivors of the Boston Marathon bombing later today. We have a theme for today, and the theme is reality. How do we win in 91 days, we have to have a reconnection of this nation to the truth and to reality. And in this crazy COVID era, it will be a challenge. You heard my story last week about a man who threatened to shoot me at a 7-Eleven near my house because I wasn't wearing a mask. Well, I'm not the only one. There is a story at the Blaze. Florida man opens fire in hotel lobby because a mother and son weren't social distancing. Yes, nobody was shot, but the man fired into the air because a mother and her son were sitting next to each other on a couch in a hotel lobby. Masks. Why don't we decide upon two things? Facts and the principle of individual liberty and responsibility. Is everybody in the world wearing masks? Do we know that it is clearly effective in preventing the spread of the Chinese flu? Not according to the Daily Mail. They have a piece by Ian Birrell, and it's a personal piece. Let me read a bit of it to you. As I walked around the sun-dappled streets of Amsterdam, something felt strange in this world swept by fear and pandemic. There was laughter coming from barges sliding along the famous canals. Clusters of cyclists clogged the streets. Shoppers dipped into chic boutiques. The barber shops seemed busy, and cafes served couples chatting over coffee. I heard many voices of tourists in bars and restaurants, while even the seedier sides of this celebrated Dutch city had people strolling through them. It took me a moment to realize what was so weird. Then it struck me. It felt like I had stepped back in time, returning to the pre-pandemic normality of a bustling city filled with human beings whose faces were not covered by cloth. Well, well, well. The Dutch are doing things differently. The nation's top scientists, having examined key data and research, have declared there is no firm evidence to back the use of face coverings. Indeed, they argue that wearing the wretched things may actually hamper the fight against the disease. How interesting. Here's a quote. Face masks in public places are not necessary based on all the current evidence, says Cohen Behrens, spokesman for the National Institute for Public Health and the Environment. Quote, there is no benefit, and there may even be a negative impact. This is a bold but highly controversial stance, especially as fears grow of a second wave sweeping through Europe and the US. Last week, Downing Street joined the global stampede to enforce face masks in public spaces such as shops, supermarkets, and stations, following Scotland, Spain, and France, along with Holland's neighboring nations of Belgium and Germany. Quote, we think masks have a great deal of value, said Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Scientific evaluation of face coverings and their importance in stopping aerosol droplets has been growing. Not so with our Dutch friends. Holland's position is based on assessments by the Outbreak Management Team, a group of experts advising the government. It first ruled against masks in May and has re-evaluated the evidence several times, including again last week. They believe, the health professionals in Holland believe, that the masks distract from a clear three-pronged message that has kept deaths from the coronavirus down to less than half the rate in Britain, where they're mandatory. What is that message? Wash your hands regularly, maintain a social distance of 6 feet, and stay at home if you're suffering from symptoms.
We've seen this approach work, says Christian Hoebe, a professor of infectious diseases in Maastricht and member of the advisory team. Face masks should not be seen as a magic bullet that halts the spread. The evidence for them is contradictory. In general, we think you must be careful with face masks because they can give you a false sense of security. It makes people think they're immune from disease, or they can stop social distancing, and that is very negative. What are the facts? Holland, a country of 17 million people, has seen 6,174 pandemic deaths after adopting what it called, quote, intelligent lockdown, which imposed significantly fewer restrictions than Britain and elsewhere. And here's a thought. Relied more on trusting their citizens to behave sensibly. Now, how about that? How about in a nation founded on the principle of rugged individualism, of human beings having worth because they have reason based upon being made in the image of their creator? How about we return to that instead of acting like sheep? We will continue with the Daily Wire's Mike Knowles in studio. Former NYPD Commissioner Bernie Kerik will talk to the White House and Katrina Pearson. Don't touch that dial.
President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Every August, I reach out to you, my dear listeners, my friends, our viewers on YouTube, to ask you to help the starving children in Haiti, in Guatemala, and other countries in the developing world through our amazing partners at Food for the Poor. But this year, it's even more critical than before because of COVID-19, which has interrupted the normal supply chain for food reaching the poorest of the poor. Informal markets are closed. Day laborers aren't allowed to work. And food is pretty much cut off from these families. Listen to our good friend, Executive Director of Food for the Poor, Angel Aloma, with regards to just the difference you could make with just a few dollars.
But please understand that for $37, you can feed a starving child for 6 months. $37. Divide that by the days in 6 months, which is about 180 days. Think about it. $37 would mean a few cents a day. Please do it.
Can you do it? I know it's been a tough 3 months. But $37 for a starving child. Please go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the emergency food relief banner. Or you can call 855-330-HOPE. As Angel said, $37 will give a child 3 meals a day for 6 months. $185 will feed 5 children for 6 months. If you can, please give in any amount. Go to my website, sebgorka, sebgorka.com, or call 855-330-4673. I thank you. Food for the Poor thanks you. And the children you're helping will thank you. It is a momentous day when anyone from the Daily Wire is in the swamp, especially when that Galactic Master Klavan is hiding in his loft. Not his basement like Biden. He's in his loft. We can tell from the Skype. But today, the treat is Michael Knowles. John, I love the photograph. This is a very serious photograph.
Wow.
They found. Is that
a
good one?
Oh, my gosh.
You look like a statesman there. This is our tweet. Check out our tweets.
I think I'm wearing the same blazer in there.
Yes.
Wow. I need
we planned that.
That's impressive.
We planned that. We have a psychic Twitter handler, John. Well done. I'm impressed. He is, of course, the host of The Michael Knowles Show, the only man to make millions of dollars out of a book of blank pages. I'm not joking. Check it out. Follow him right now. Michael J. Knowles. He is also the Lincoln Fellow at the Claremont Institute and just a snowflake melter par excellence. Watch his videos across the internet. What is the title of that book of empty pages, just to annoy me again? What is it?
You know, truer now than ever. It's called Reasons to Vote for Democrats, a Comprehensive Guide. And, Seb, I'm not kidding. I'll get the updates sometimes on how it's selling. We did it 3 years ago now. And ever since it looked like Joe Biden was going to be the nominee, sales are through the roof.
So another blank book is selling because of Joe Biden.
That's right. Okay. So thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
Guys, he's not joking. I don't know if he stole the idea from somebody. Pure genius.
Do you know,
Reasons to Vote for Democrats. Go ahead.
Do you know where the idea comes from?
Tell us. Let it all out.
I don't know that I've mentioned this on radio yet. So the idea came to me, but it's not an original idea. There have been a million of these. Everything Men Know About Women. Right. They all these kind of things. But it turns out the first one in American history goes back to 1880. It was James
Garfield.
So you're
a plagiarist. You plagiarized with empty pages.
I plagiarized.
That's impressive. That is impressive.
My defense is I plagiarized nothing. I plagiarized. So
Your Honor, I plagiarized nothing.
But you know, the first one.
So tell us, who was it?
It was the Republican presidential ticket, James Garfield and Chester Arthur. They were mocking the Democrats even then.
No.
And yes, it was called The Political Achievements and Statesmanship of General Hancock, Democratic Nominee for President, 5 blank pages.
So you just put a new dust wrap on it.
And
like
a little
a new dust wrapper, your photograph, and then you got it from the warehouse.
Now it's Biden.
Dusted it off, and resold it. Genius, pure genius. Okay, I'm glad we're laughing. You know, we have to be happy warriors. I decided this morning, because every day I'm thinking, what can I do? What can I do with this platform, with the guests we have, the amazing viewers, the listeners? We just broke all kinds of records with our viewership and listenership in California and across the globe. You know what the challenge is, Mike? And I think I realized what it really is this morning.
Yeah.
Most of our nation is just disconnected from reality.
Yes.
Reality is a thing that's out there.
Yeah.
And the anchor, the chain that connected Americans to it has been severed. Well, my friend has the morning show. I was listening to his radio show here in D.C. And Chris Blunt had a caller who said, he went out with his family members, most of them who are Democrats, and over lunch or coffee, one of them, who's, you know, an adult, said, the violence, he mentioned the violence in Portland, Seattle. This American citizen said, oh, that's just made up. You're just getting that from the things you listen to.
Jerry Nadler said the same thing.
Yeah, Antifa is a myth.
Yeah.
Now, I know how we got here. I wrote a book about how we got here. It's called The March of the Institutions. It's called The New Left. It's called Deconstructionism. It's from Gramsci to AOC. Mike, what can we do about it in 3 months?
I actually think there is some reason for hope. I don't think there's reason for complacency. I don't know. You can flip a coin right now for the 2020 election. But there is reason for hope. And the reason for hope is this. The left controls every major institution in the country, right? I always love, they talk about institutional racism. They control all the institutions. They control the mainstream media, Hollywood, big tech, education.
If there's institutional racism, it's because they created it.
It has to be them. So they control all of the institutions. They frankly even control the terms of debate, even on the right, very, very largely. And then Trump comes in.
Yes.
Smashes it all up. Right. To the point that many conservative intellectuals, many conservatives in D.C. hated this guy's guts. And some of them still hate this guy's guts.
Oh, yes.
But he comes in there and he just gives them a little dose of reality. So you've got the left entirely and then some sort of accommodationists on the right. They're buying into the ideological, fantasy, delusional world created by the left. That increasingly is disconnected. It's so disconnected from reality now that you're not allowed to say that a man can't be a woman, right?
Yeah.
It's so disconnected, you're not allowed to say that a baby is a baby. And then Trump comes in and he says, look, I'm not politically correct. He's the first presidential candidate to run explicitly against political correctness, even though we've had political correctness now for decades. He comes in and does that, and it's this conservative consolation. Goes back, Russell Kirk, the conservative philosopher, remembered this. Reality reasserts itself. Eventually.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it won't in the next 3 months. But the one conservative hope is that eventually, in the end, reality will reassert itself.
But you're making it sound as if it's something that we have no input on.
No, we have a huge amount of input. The thing is, delusion can persist for a very long time. Soviet Union lasted, what, 70 years?
Right.
We've seen horrible regimes. And we've seen even this kind of corrosive, liberal, progressive regime in the United States now for a little over 100 years, right?
Right.
So these things can go on for a long time. It does take an exercise of reason and will to crack it. But sometimes you get it. Brexit, Trump, what about 2020?
I think we have a title for this hour with Michael J. Knowles, the author of books with nothing in them. It's called The Revenge of Reality. How ironic a man who writes empty books is helping us bring reality back. God bless him and all his colleagues at the Daily Wire. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network from the Relief Factor Studios just outside the insalubrious swamp that is D.C. Families hanging white flags outside their doors as an indication they've run out of food. For families in Guatemala and the other countries food for the poor serves, COVID-19 is more than just a medical crisis. Because access to food has been cut off by the restrictions of the pandemic, even families accustomed to working hard to take care of their children today hear their children beg them for something to eat. Informal markets are shut down, curfews are in place, crops can't be planted, and parents can't even earn the couple of dollars a day they relied on to provide for their children. Today, I'm partnering with Food for the Poor and you to get emergency food relief into the hands of the most vulnerable, the children. Your one-time gift of $111 provides 3 children emergency food relief for the next 6 months. A one-time gift of $185 feeds 5 children for 6 months. Make your most generous gift today by calling 855-330-4673. That's 855-330-HOPE. Or you can give online at sebgorka.com. That's sebgorka.com by clicking the red emergency food relief banner. Make a difference for a child at sebgorka.com.
The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
He's the host of the Michael Knowles Show. Subscribe right now and check out the Daily Wire. It's one of our 15 most important influential websites. Let's repost that article, Eric. People love that. It's with his colleagues, Andrew Clavin, Ben Shapiro, a reliable source of information. Mike, thank you for joining us here in studio on your visit back to the swamp, because you've got a podcast with some chappie called Cruz.
Yes.
What is Tom Cruise?
He's a Texan. He comes to town every so often. Yeah, that's the fella. Yeah, we're in town doing a couple episodes of that. And then I'm back to La La Land, where I think Gavin Mussolini is going to keep us locked
in
forever.
I like that. Do that again?
Oh,
Gavin what?
Gavin Mussolini. That's his name.
You mean Nancy Pelosi's nephew?
That's right, yeah.
All right, let's talk about the state of the nation. 91 days to go. Have you heard the latest potential pick for vice president?
Which one? The last one I heard.
In the last 12 nanoseconds.
I know. I mean, they keep coming out of the woodwork.
Did you even know who Karen Bass was?
I've got a story about Karen Bass.
Oh, you do?
I've got a story.
All right, hold the story.
Right.
Wait one. Let's play video cut. We've got a couple of Bass cuts. What's the chronology? Let's start with video cut 4, Karen Bass. Play cut!
Karen Bass is very dangerous. All the things that we saw leading up to the Fidel Castro's revolution, burning, statues toppling, burning books, punishing dissenters, all of those things happened. They're happening now in America, and we need to be very wary.
Now, why would they bring up Karen Bass's name in connection with politics in America and Cuba? Well, you may ask. That was, of course, Rachel Campus Duffy on Fox. And here's why she was saying it. This with Chris Wallace, video cut 2, Eric.
Play video.
You make it sound as if this was just when you were young and irresponsible. You were young and irresponsible. You put out that message about Castro's death 6 years or 4 years ago in 2016. Shouldn't you have known by then that Castro's death was not a great loss to the Cuban people?
I absolutely would have not put that statement out. And I will tell you that after talking to my colleagues who represent the state of Florida, raised those concerns with me, lesson learned, would not do that again for sure.
So why did you do it? Why did you cry at the death of the dictator in Cuba as you sit there as chairperson of the Black Caucus in Congress? What's your story, Mike?
So about a month ago, no, 2 months ago, was the first time there was a little peep that they might consider this woman, who most people haven't heard of, for VP. And
isn't that remarkable?
Oh, yes.
From nowhere. Like, sorry, what?
Well, you need, because all these people have
skin
such
color,
terrible records.
Pigment.
Well, yes, that's what he said. Joe Biden said, in the name of diversity, I'm only going to select a woman of color. I'm going to only, obviously, got to be diverse.
That's fabulous.
So I get a call from the local Fox station there. Karen Bass was going to come on. They asked me if I would like to ask a question.
Nice.
Very fair anchor over there at that station.
So I know, I know the station.
Yeah, they're great. And so I said, okay, here's my question. You can run it or not. And the question was, you've spoken highly of BLM, and you say you support BLM, and the founders of BLM call themselves trained Marxists.
Right.
You've supported Cuba. You went down to Cuba in the 70s. You were clearly pro-Marxist then, and you've spoken well of Fidel Castro now. Are you willing to disavow Marxism? Very simple question, right? This should be a home run for an American
should
politician.
Should be easy.
It wasn't so easy. First, she denied having any knowledge of the BLM connection. She said, that must be some weird little chapter. I don't know any Marxists. Then I pulled up the pictures of her with the leaders
who
of
said
BLM.
They were trained Marxists.
Yes. Patrice Galores, yes. Alicia Garza, Paul Tometi. That's the third one.
You played dirty with, you used the truth.
I did.
How outrageous.
You're not allowed to do that. Not in Democratic politics.
So what happened then?
So after that, she said, okay, that was, you know, I don't know about them. We proved that was a lie. But then on the Castro question, she's got a little bit of a better answer now. Back then she said, oh, listen, you know, maybe I would have phrased it differently if it offended people. Not I disavow Fidel Castro because he was a thug and a commie.
So if it annoyed somebody,
yes,
or offended them, but not because he was a murdering bastard.
That's right. It's the same thing of saying, oh, uh-huh, I'm sorry if your feelings got hurt.
Yeah.
Not I'm sorry for what I did.
Right.
I'm sorry if your feelings got hurt. So she said all that. Obviously, this issue keeps coming back. It seems like it's going to hurt her. I don't think this woman has one bit of remorse.
You know what we should do in the break? We should just pick the best quotes from Che Guevara about black Cubans,
yeah,
and just send them to the chairperson of the Black Caucus.
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't know that Che Guevara hated black Cubans and was a racist. We're talking to Michael J. Knowles. Follow him right now on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We're going to keep him as long as we can. We've got him chained down without a mask in studio. We've got to keep ourselves right now 91 days to go and beyond as healthy as possible. Have you done it? If you haven't, do it now. Go and order Balance of Nature, Dr. Douglas Howard's incredible Health in Your Hand is what I call it. Six little capsules I take before each show, three green for vegetables, three red for fruit, which are the same as 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Nobody eats that healthily. Not even Gandhi ate that healthily, but you can if you buy Balance of Nature right now. Dr. Howard will give you 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order if you drop my name. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 800-246-8751. Super easy number, but write it down. 800-246-8751. Balanceofnature.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. You know it makes sense. Do it today. Back with Michael Knowles after these messages.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Like the Yetis do. So I sat down as ordered, glad to be near the fire, stinky as it was. I held out my hands toward the flames and shivered as my palms began to warm. To my relief, the abominable snow woman turned out to be a pretty good housewife, or cave wife, or whatever she was. She went about setting up a little stove of rocks on the fire. She then used the stove to heat up some broth in a stone bowl. Finally, she handed the bowl to me. "Thank you, ma'am," I said, nodding up gratefully at her great, fanged, monstery face. Her eyes softened even more.
"I am glad you are here. You are welcome."
How was the soup, Michael Knowles?
It was delicious. It was, I'm narrating my memoirs there, as you can tell. Yeah,
clearly somewhere in Los Angeles with a Yeti. I had to play you that because I love this. It's written by our mutual friend and your colleague, Andrew Clavin. It's Another Kingdom. And it's all three seasons are performed by my guest. Can you just do the rodent witch voice?
So, you know, this voice gets me in trouble.
Of course,
you know,
it does. This, you say it's based on my wife.
I do it. It was this voice. So there's this character in Another Kingdom written by Andrew Clavin. I did the narration. And it's this.
No, performed. Performed.
I performed it. I mustered up all of my inner life.
Dramaturgical power.
So there's this character, this little rat girl, and the voice.
Witch. Rat witch.
Sounds a little bit like this. That's kind of. And the trouble is when you read the thing on the note, I do this impression if I'm like talking about my wife. I'll say, "Mac, you get over here right now. You stop working too much." You know, and so I tell my wife, I say, "You've got your voices in the book." She goes, "Oh, is it?
Oh, how lovely!
Is
how
it
sweet.
The beautiful? Is it? No,
Princess.
It's actually the rat girl.
It's the rat girl.
Sorry to say, it's the rat girl."
Oh dear! Oh dear! Okay, you should have talked to me first. We're going to do something a little bit different here now. Okay, first things first. Clavin's podcast, Knowles' podcast, Another Kingdom, great fantasy novella series. I love it. It's really quite different. But we got to talk about what's going on in this country, and I'm going to open up the lines.
Great.
Because we're talking about vice presidential picks, and we have one of our best, most loyalist listeners out in, what did you call it? La La Land?
La La Land.
He's in Livermore. He's Ray from Livermore, who has an interesting suggestion. Ray, welcome to Mike Knowles.
This is great. Michael Knowles, love the podcast, love the book club.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
This is my pleasure, speaking with two of my favorites at once. VP pick for Biden is going to be a person with a cervix and pigmentation.
Imaginary cervix or a real cervix? Do we know?
Yes, real or imaginary. So the VP pick is Omar. And the reason, there's two reasons. They have a lot in common. Both have a knack for making family and friends very rich, and neither one can discern a spouse from a sibling. I'm hanging up on myself.
Oh, that is good, Ray. I see what you did there. Is she old enough to be a Veep?
You know, look, in these days, we've so trashed the Constitution, I think that requirement is gone.
If men can have cervixes,
that's right,
or be women without cervixes, then your age is also, I mean, you can just say you're 36,
you
right?
Can identify as 75.
75.
Yeah.
I mean, AOC could be the VP pick.
Joe Biden identifies
as 12.
Yes, 12.
All right, Ray, God bless. He always stays on the line. I guess he's got some work to do. He always listens while he's working. All right, seriously, who's it going to be?
So,
is it going to be the woman that who attacked Biden the most? Is it going to be Kamala? Because I thought with her police record, out.
She's a cop. That's what
she's
they say.
Cop.
Kamala's a cop.
What?
You know, she's the front runner right now. They floated Susan Rice. They floated Karen Bass. I mean, I think they have so much baggage. Kamala is in this tough position because she's extremely unlikable. She's got the likability of Hillary Clinton. She happens to be on the wrong side of the pressing left-wing issue right now, which is the police. But probably she'll get it because Joe Biden's backed himself into a corner. He said they got to have this skin color. They got to have this sexual identity, whatever that means. You know, you've only got a handful of choices here. And the problem that Biden's going to have is usually the VP doesn't matter, right?
Well, the VP classically is supposed to bring the states. The first ticket person doesn't. So
that's
if it's
right.
A North, if the Yankee, you've got to have a Southerner for the VP or other way around.
But, you know, Biden's going to get California. That's
right.
Not a worry.
Right.
And the problem is usually people who are running for president are able to remember their own name. You know, people who are running for president
usually,
not all the time.
It helps.
I think this idea of balancing out the ticket, that's not going to work for Joe Biden because people are going to be looking at this guy and say, I don't know how much of the job he's going to do for how long he's going to do
right.
It. And so if you have a deeply unlikable VP pick like Kamala Harris, how many votes is that going to win?
So do you think for the first time ever in history, the choice of the vice president candidate will actually matter in an American election?
I think it could. The one advantage, though, that Biden has right now is that because the left controls the whole bureaucracy,
yes,
basically you can elect this empty suit and you're still just going
to
automatically get left-wing policy. So that's going to be his advantage. But I think the VP pick will matter a lot more than it usually does.
And the idea, this is so telling. This is, for me, indicative of the choice of Biden itself, that it's the lazy, it's the automatic, it's the knee-jerk, it's the candidate that they chose without having to think about anything because, hey, he was the vice president. Right. And this decision today, or was it this morning or yesterday, saying, we need another week to choose our pick. What do you mean? What? So you can find out another candidate nobody's ever heard of who happens to be woman and black? I mean, isn't this a sign of... They just don't know what they're doing.
And you can tell there's some discord in the Biden campaign because they keep leaking all this dirt on Kamala. And probably Joe Biden doesn't even know at this point who they're talking about. I mean, he's watching television. But obviously there's a fight within the campaign. And I think it's because they know this is going to have a lot more importance. And they clearly, despite her best campaigns, they haven't settled on Kamala yet.
No. What's your money? Is it going to be her if you wait a week?
I'd put it on her just because the others are too radical. They've got, you know, I mean, Karen Bass was like talking up Fidel Castro, and Susan Rice was at the heart of that awful scandal in Benghazi. So it's just not going to look good. Kamala is.
But what about Pocahontas? Jeff thinks
she is a woman of color.
My producer thinks that this great woman of color, first. Minority on the Texas bar, first Native American, could be the vice president.
It very well could be, although, you know, it won't matter if she goes back to her Okie roots. It won't matter very much because the Supreme Court just gave away half of Oklahoma. So I don't know how many votes it brings.
All right. We are trying to temper our humor with our discussion of important things. He is Michael Knowles. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network across the nation. Hundreds of stations, millions of listeners and viewers. God bless you all. Live streaming, YouTube, Facebook, available on Instagram TV. Coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. If you are suffering right now, please take a moment and listen to this message. Relief Factor is natural. It's drug-free. Oh, and it works. How do I know that? I don't have a script. I don't have talking points. I've lived it for a year and a half, and my lower back pain has gone. Plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. Took Relief Factor for 2 weeks, and now I am pain-free. Also, Debron from Massachusetts, one of the tens of thousands of Americans getting daily relief. This is her message to you. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I'm feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Don't you deserve to find out if Relief Factor could work for you? Of course you do. Find out right now by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it for 3 weeks, morning and night, as do I. And I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me and Debron and so many fellow Americans. You know it makes sense. Don't wait any longer. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Back with Michael in a moment.
America First. Magnificent.
Are we living in a box? If you're living in a box, you better have a good pillow to rest your head on every night. Do what I do and what the president does. It's called My Pillow by Mike Lindell. 51 million sold. Use my name to get up to 50% off the great products at MyPillow.com. You can call them 800-829-8468, 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com, promo code Gorka, G-O-R-K-A. And as you rest your head on that pillow, you should be listening to the latest episode of Another Kingdom, performed by Michael J. Knowles of the Daily Wire. Michael, let's get serious. 91 days to go. Apparently there's a new campaign ad. You like it. Use that as a springboard. Tell us what Americans who love this country should be feeling and doing for the next 3 months.
I love this ad. I got to tell you, be very honest.
You're worried.
I was very worried. I felt the campaign was not doing great. The last few weeks, it's been fabulous. There's this new ad out there. They had that one ad of the old woman trying to call 911. The police are defunded. She gets robbed. This new one is of a woman of color. You know, that's she could be Joe Biden's VP according to the diverse criteria set out by Biden.
Could be Karen Bass.
Yes, could be Karen. Yes. No, but it's this woman of color. I think actually importantly, and she's got these signs, and she says, Joe Biden is going to give amnesty to 11 million people. Joe Biden's trade deals destroyed American manufacturing.
Wow.
Joe Biden did this. Joe Biden did that. And I am afraid to say any of those things. She's not saying. She's just holding up the signs.
So it's like one of these virtue signaling Hollywood garbage things about we love and we're all together. But it's actually real.
And she can't say those things. We cannot. We, the American people, are not allowed to say
those
things. We will lose our jobs. We'll be ostracized. We'll get kicked out of school. I mean, that is the politically correct culture. When people talk about a silent majority, maybe it's a silent plurality. Maybe it's a silent majority. There's a lot of Americans of all different races, of all different shapes and sizes, who feel that they are not allowed to express their real opinions. For the last 100 years of progressive politics, the left has said, our politics, it's science. It's the perfect future. You can't disagree with us. We have the right answer. Shut up, you deplorable, irredeemable,
hateful.
You hateful, bigoted people, bitter clingers. We need to reopen. We need to go outside. We need to obviously be prudent, be responsible. We got to get things moving again. I think the Trump campaign has started to pick up on that. I think they're getting to issues that actually motivate people. How much, you know, we're not caring about these abstract things. We want to be safe. We don't want our cities on fire. We want to be able to say the things that we think and engage as we the people in an authentic politics. If that's the message, I think the president will do very well.
See, you guys, I told you there was a serious side to my nose. Deep, you have to go deep, deep down.
I should have done it in the voice. I should have done it in the
No.
Right.
In the 60s and the 70s and now on the streets of Portland, they were burning America's flags. Oh, and the women, remember back then they were burning bras. You know what we should be burning today? Our masks. Let's get back to work. Hashtag burn your masks. He's Michael Knowles. Follow him on Twitter. Michael J. Knowles, his fabulous colleagues at the Daily Wire. And his performance par excellence, Another Kingdom. Subscribe today. I'm Sebastian Gorka, back with Commissioner Bernie Carrick.